You lift me. In the fullness of your grace,
in the fullness of your grace,
in the power of your name,
in Jesus, the power of your name,
you lift me, you lift me up, you lift me up, you lift me up. You are my strength, strength like no hard, strength like no hard. Reaches to me, you are my strength,
you are my strength.
Yes, you are
strength like no other.
No other man.
Strength like no other.
Reaches to me,
reaches to me.
You are my all.
You are my hope.
Yes, you are
hope like no other.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Grace in the power of your name, Jesus. You shall lift everybody up today in your presence. We receive your lifting this morning in the fullness of your grace, in the power of the name that maketh everybody to listen and say, yes, you are. You shall lift everybody up today. You shall lift us up. I want all the old church to say, you are my strength. Let God hear your voice. You are my strength. Let the heavens hear you. Strength. If you are sure you have the belief in Jesus, call him. Strength like no other. Receive it from heaven this morning. If you have lost hope before, receive your hope today. Say, you are my hope.
You are my hope.
I have no other person except you. Hope like no other. Hope like no other. Hope like no other. Riches, riches.
You are the Lion of Judah.
My trust is in you.
Ancient of Days.
My trust is in you.
I am the Lion.
My trust is in you.
Lily of the Valley.
My trust is in you.
Master of the universe.
My trust is in you.
King of glory.
My trust is in you.
My miracle working God.
My trust is in you.
Oh, yiggy, yiggy, baba, me, oh, hey.
My trust is in you.
To the chorus, I put them all in you. I put them all in you.
My trust is in you.
Put them all in you.
Hey.
My trust is in you.
I put them on you.
I put them all in you. My trust is in you.
I put them all.
I put them all in you.
Hey.
My trust is in you.
O Lion of Judah.
My trust is in you.
Jehovah Jireh.
My trust. My trust is in you.
Alpha and Omega, you are. Hey.
My trust is in you.
Jehovah Rapha, Lord.
My trust is in you.
King of glory.
My trust is in you.
all, Jesus.
My trust is in you.
I put them all
in you. My trust is in you.
I put them all
in you. My trust is in you.
Every day I put them all
in you. My trust is in you.
Every burden on you, Lord,
I put them all in you. My trust is in you.
Hallelujah. Oh,
I put them all in you. My trust is in you.
I put them all
in you. My trust is in
just
you.
Just ask. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I put them all in you. My trust is in you. I put them all in you. My trust is in you. God, I put them all in you. My trust is in you. I put them all in you. My trust is in you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is your trust in the Lord? Amen. Father, we are thankful for your presence this day. With all the challenges that we experienced this morning, we have experienced your faithfulness. The enemy tried to impede, limit the reach of that which you want to do today, but he failed woefully. Because your grace is sufficient, and we magnify your glorious name this day. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. I put them all in you.
My trust is in you.
I put them all in you.
My trust is in you.
I put them all in you.
My trust is in you.
Jehovah Jireh.
My trust is in you.
Jehovah Nissi.
My trust is in you.
Jehovah Shammah,
my trust is in you.
Jehovah Shalom,
my trust is in you.
Oh, my trust is in you, Lord.
My trust is in you.
Jehovah Nissi,
my trust is in you.
Jehovah Rohi,
my trust is in you.
Jehovah Rapha,
my trust is in you.
You are my peace and joy,
my trust is in you.
My healer, deliverer,
my trust is in you.
Oh, Emmanuel,
my trust is in you.
Abba, Father,
my trust is in you.
Yeshua, Yeshua,
my trust is in you.
I put them all in you.
My trust is in you.
I put them all in you.
My trust is in you. I put them all in you. My trust is in you. I put them all in you. My trust.
One more time, I put them all.
I put them all in you. My trust is in you.
Hallelujah. What do you say? What's God's name in Polish? Huh? Bog? Bog. I put them all in you.
My trust is in you.
Bog, bog, bog.
My trust is in you.
Bog, bog, bog.
My trust is in you.
Hallelujah. I put them all in you.
Jesus, my trust is in you.
What's God's name in Ukrainian? Huh? Same thing? Oh. Poles and Ukraine. Okay. Praise God. What other language do I want? Huh? Philippines. Hey. Son, tell me, what's God's name in the Philippines? Dios? That's Spanish.
Dios.
No, no, no. We've got a Filipino here. It's Dios. Same as Spanish? Dios, Dios, Dios.
My trust is in you.
Dios, Dios, Dios.
My trust is in you.
What is it in French? Huh? Dear? Same thing? Dear? Well, the languages are almost the same. Dear, dear, dear.
Hey! My trust is in you.
Bog, bog, bog.
My trust is in you.
Time out.
Put them all in you. My trust is in you.
Chineke.
My trust is in you.
What is it in Yoruba?
Abiye si baba.
My trust is in you.
Abiye si baba.
My trust is in you.
I put them all in you.
My trust is in you.
I put them all in you.
My trust.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. We are international this morning. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. It's such an honor to have every one of you here in the presence of the Lord. We're going to have an awesome time this morning. It's good to see Sister Aisha all the way from Alberta. Praise God. Welcome here. Huh? In our language is Allah. You see? No? Osibina? Osibina? Osibina.
I trust in you.
Osibina.
I trust in you.
Osibina.
I trust in you.
What is it in your language? What's it in your language?
Trust?
Yeah.
God.
Mungu. Mungu, Mungu, Mungu.
My trust is in you.
Mungu, Mungu, Mungu.
My trust is in you.
I put them all in you.
My trust is in you.
Why is it in Sierra Leone? Huh? Come closer. Mevor? Devor? Bor? Bor? Devor? Devor?
Devor?
Devor? Oh, Devorg. G? Not D? Gaywar. Oh, okay. Sorry, Lord, I spelt your name. Mighty God. Gewa, Gewa.
My trust is in you.
Bok, 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 bok.
My trust is in you.
Dia.
My trust. I put them all in you. My trust is in you. I put them all in you. My trust is in you.
Pastor Henry, what's it in your language? Huh? Osalebo. 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 Okay, this one is going to be tough. Oh, Salobwa. Oh, Salobwa.
My trust is in you.
Oh, Salobwa.
My trust is in you.
Oh, Salobwa.
My trust is in you.
Any Germans here this morning? German? No Germans? What language am I missing? Did I miss your language? Spanish? Dios, we sang Dios already. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Nengi's mom? Oh, what's that in your language? Samu? Tamil? Tamulo? Tamuno? 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 My trust is in you. Tamuno?
My trust is in you.
Tamuno?
My trust.
Yeshua,
my trust is in you. I put them all in you. My trust is in you. I put them all in you. My trust is in you. put them all in you. My trust is in you. I put them all in you. My trust is in you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessings. God is good. Amen.
Are we on? Now we're on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We put all our trust in Him. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. So who can guess what our language is? I think he sang it. He didn't say. Ogene. Say ogene. You have to go. Ogene. Yes. Just like Hebrews always put. We do that too. Praise the Lord. Ogene. Praise the Lord. He has many names, Agbada Guru. So when you praise him, we have a lot of things to say. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad every tongue, every tribe, every nation have the name of God? He's written his name upon the hearts of all men. So everyone in the remotest village today, somebody is calling his name. Somebody call his name in this house this morning. Jesus, he's truly name above all names. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God day, everybody. So good to be in the house of the Lord. We thank God for the miracle of light. When we came here this morning, there was no light other than the emergency light, but there is now light. Hallelujah. Somebody say, there is light. Don't take light for granted. You know we have light in us, but the physical light around, don't take it for granted. Praise the Lord. We really appreciate the Lord and appreciate the teamwork in our city that they were able to bring all the lights back. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, children, we'll pray for you and you can go do your thing. So stretch your hands towards the children. Father, we thank you for all our beautiful children, all our biological children, spiritual children, partners, and extended families all over the world, the ones that are standing right here now from age 120 plus to zero, those in the womb, those in seed form, those walking around, those in school age, career age, marriage age, in every age, retirement age, every age, touch every one of them. You are the glory and the lifter of their head. Lift them from every place of downness to a higher place. In the name of Jesus, touch their lives. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Cause them to know you. Cause them to love you. Touch the teachers. Anoint them to be great teachers. Anoint their families also. We thank you for healing, restoring, and making them whole. Those that are behind in schoolwork, speedily bring them up to where they can understand and do well in Jesus' name. And we continue to speak scholarship over our children, that they will excel in school and they will be the highlighted and chosen ones. In Jesus' name, bring forth great leaders and touch their lives. In Jesus' name we declare so done. Amen. All right, God bless you. See you later. Praise the Lord. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you into the service this morning. Spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, spirit of might, spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We receive you into our hearts, into our church, ministry, and our city and our nation. And in this service, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Again, there's a lot to be done this morning, so We're going to read the word of the Lord and we'll continue. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. These are passages you should be familiar with as a child of God, because these things will surely come to pass. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I think there are 18 verses. Catch up as we go. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So let's all read together. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. So what is our calling? We are not only to just walk with God, we must please God. Say amen. Say, Lord, help me to walk with you and to please God. Even Jesus had to please God, the Father. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So don't just be a Christian that doesn't please God. You must please God. So that's a good prayer for you to add to your prayer. Lord, teach me how to please you. Don't be pleasing men. Some of you are pleasing men. You like to please people. It's called eye service. The person you should please always is God. Say amen. It's also good to please people. You don't please your boss, you get fired, you know. And if you want to obtain favor from man, you have to learn to please also. So, but I'm just saying, remember, God is number one. Amen. When you please God, that ability to please will just flow from you all the time. Say amen. So you don't have to try. It just happened. Everything from God is an anointing. It's given by the Holy Spirit. So when you ask it, it stays in you. Say, Lord, I thank you that I have the Spirit to walk with you and to please you. It's not a simple prayer as you think. Enoch walked with God. So it's a big prayer to pray. Amen? All right, verse 2. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. Get out of, be somebody who's sanctified. That means you live in holiness and in purity. Amen? It says it's a command. They gave it. The church gave it. The church leaders gave it, but God gave it. And then they pass it on. Amen? So everybody is called to abstain from what? Fornication. Now, God called Esau. What did God call Esau? In the word of God, who can tell me that? He said Esau is a fornicator. But did he fornicate? All right. I'll leave that as a sealer question for you to think about. So fornication is when you are having sexual immorality. But Esau had his birthright given to his brother. That means he had a flesh issue. So any flesh issue you have, you must give it to God. Amen? He had a flesh issue, so that qualifies. Even though he was not having a sexual immorality, he had a weakness. And his weakness is he could not wait for just 30 minutes or 1 hour to eat. You know, he sold his birthright over food. That was his weakness. So every one of us, we have a weakness. You must surrender that weakness to God. The amen is weak again. The amen is weak again. Should we be calling your spouse or your children to find out what your weakness is? So we all know what it is. So you know what it is. So say, Lord, it's prayer time. Say, Lord, help me, deliver me from every weakness in my life. Let me not be a fornicator. In the name of Jesus. Say a big amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You see, it's another command. you have to take charge. Say, Lord, help me to take charge of my vessel in sanctification and honor. Say amen. Verse 5, not in the lust of conspicience, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Somebody say, what kind of long word is that? It means desire and craving and longing for what is forbidden. Just long word. Concupiscence. Even me, it's hard to say that word. But that's what it means. Every evil desire, you know, some only you live inside your thoughts and your mind. Not everything we act out, but we play it inside our mind. Those things, God say he knows them before you think about them, before you do it. Say, Lord, deliver me from every evil lust and thoughts that does not please you. In Jesus' name, say amen. Amen. I hope everybody's praying. Okay, it says the Gentiles that do that. We've been saved. We are no longer in that realm. Even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Are there people who know God here? So we are free in the name of Jesus. Verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. You don't need to spend your day swearing and cursing at them. The Lord will avenge you of every trouble. May God avenge me and you and our family and your family of every problems. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Verse 7. For God had not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. It's the same thing. Immorality and things that are dirty. God has not called us to that. He's called us to holiness, to be separated unto him. Lord, say, Lord, hide me in your holiness. Amen. Verse 8, he therefore thou despised not man, but God, who had also given unto us his Holy Spirit. May his Holy Spirit quicken every one of us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So Peter is addressing the church about different things. We are called to love God and to love one another. Amen? So the order of love is love God, love yourself, and love others. If you don't love yourself, you have nothing to give. So learn to love yourself. Love your neighbor as you what? Love yourself. So love God, and that love of God in you enables you to love others. You can't love out of your own strength. You will always find fault. May God anoint us with his own kind of love. Say amen. Say amen. It's a big prayer to say amen to. Sometimes we think we love, but at the end of the day, the way we act shows whether we truly love. Action speaks louder than voice. Verse 10, and indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Hallelujah. What month is this again? My goodness. What did he say you should increase more and more with? We just read it. My goodness. I better stop reading to you. Very soon I'm going to stop reading scriptures to you. And then some people's Bible will just have dust. Because we just said something a few seconds ago, you forgot immediately. Say, Lord, anoint my hearing, that I'm not a forgetful hearer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Say amen. I don't know about you, we all need more and more love in our hearts. Say amen. All right, verse 11. And that you study to be what? Quiet, and to do your own business, and to walk with your own hands as we commanded you. Some of you, if you don't talk, your mouth will be so painful. You know, so say, Lord, anoint me with a quiet spirit. Now there's a time to speak. You know, the righteous are called that you should speak and be bold as lion. Amen? But you don't have to be a talkative. The Holy Spirit loves to speak to you, so learn to be quiet. Say amen. Say it like you mean it. He said you should do what? Study. So it's a learned behavior. It's not something that is going to come to you easy, but just learn to be quiet. So practice it sometimes. Take an hour or two a day, just be quiet. Don't talk to anybody. Don't talk to anything. Just you and God. Find out how much you're going to hear. It's a start practice. Maybe for some people, you just start with 10 minutes by keeping your mouth quiet. You know, with social media now, there's no end. Some people have this finger that's going like this. Say, Lord, help me. Say, Lord, help me. They did not have that at that time. They were just whispering a little bit here, a little bit that. And the Holy Spirit said, be quiet. So you can imagine today how much He's calling us to more quietness. Say, Lord. I'm playing around. Say, Lord, help me to have a quiet spirit. Say a big amen. Do your own business and walk with your own hands as we commanded you. Say, command. Verse 12, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. So why do we need to walk? Some people say, I don't need to walk anymore. I don't need any money. Well, walk and find somebody who's in need and be a blessing. There are many children who need help. There are many children who want to go to university. They don't have money to go. You can pay somebody's school fees. Say amen. Is this in the word of the Lord? All right, say amen. All right, verse 12. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of what? Nothing. So if you never want to lack in your life, be a giver. Don't just give. You know, people give to church. Give your tithe and your offering, and that's where your giving ends. Your giving, that's just the beginning. Your giving should go beyond that. You can't see a need and just close your eyes and pretend. God says, give to those who are without, not users. There are some people who have, they want to take yours and take everything and add to themselves. God has commanded every one of us to walk, and He will bless the work of our hands. But He says, give to those who have nothing. Say amen. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be what? Ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. So he's dealing, he's finished with that. He's dealt with the issue of love. He's dealt with the issue of holiness. He's dealt with the issue of fornication. So this Peter dealing with different issues that are in the body of Christ. So there's not one topic he was dealing with. Now he's dealing with those who have gone to be with the Lord. So he's dealing with death now. But I will not have you to be what? Ignorant brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So when a loved one dies in your family, don't continue mourning and mourning forever. Mourn like 30 days, you know. Some people, they go on 5 years later, I say, what's wrong with you? I'm still mourning. Well, you are going to have demonic visitations. They are going to be coming to have a good coffee and what else do they have? Croissant. Apostle said croissant with you. So, you are not called to mourn. He said, do not mourn. This is the word of the Lord. He says, it's a command. This is Peter. Peter, God made him the head of the church. Upon this rock will I what? Build my church. So, he stayed with Jesus. You know, after he caught all those fishes, from that day on, he used to have a big mouth and just doing crazy stuff like every other person, but he followed him. And these are the things. He was there for the transfiguration. He saw Moses. He saw Elijah. Hallelujah. Some of us were waiting to see them. Don't go yet. You still have lots of time. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he's dealing with death. So death is going to come. Except the rapture takes place, then everybody's going to taste death. Not everyone. Except you have the resurrection. Amen? But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are what? Asleep. Those that are dead. That you sorrow not. So anybody who dies in your family, anybody you love, don't stay in sorrow and in grief. Even as others which have no hope. Only people who have no hope because they know they've lost them forever, but you will see them again if they are in Jesus. Say amen. For if we believe, verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus we bring with him. Hallelujah. We bring God. Let's read that again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we believe that here? Somebody say, I believe that. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Hallelujah. So when Jesus is coming again, all your loved ones that died in Jesus, they are going to come with him. Hallelujah. So it's going to be a great family reunion. Glory to God. So this is why it's telling you, don't weep and be sorrowful and be sad. You will see them again. I will see my mom and dad again, and my older sister again. Praise the Lord, because they all died in the Lord. We'll see my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and all the people that have gone, we will see them again. We will see Papa again and the rest of them. Hallelujah. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You cannot stop them. They are going to pop up from the grave. Hallelujah. You can cremate them, divide them, put half of them in Atlantic Ocean, some in Pacific Ocean, put them anywhere, scatter them anywhere, all those ashes within a twinkling of an eye, they will come together and become a complete person. Hallelujah! That is what resurrection life is. So when you say resurrection life, you are not just speaking, you are speaking power beyond your imagination and your thoughts. Hallelujah. It says this will happen. What did he say? For this we say unto you by what? By the word of the Lord. So they were not making up something. They are speaking as the oracle of God. Hallelujah. Verse 16. We're almost done. When I finish, I'm going to say amen and just pray for the nation and apostle will come up. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I did not hear any shout just now. You ought to have shouted. I give you a second chance. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Well, Brother Ibukun plays the, what does he play again? Saxophone. We all enjoy it and you hear it. But when the voice of God is Jesus is going to speak, say the whole earth is going to hear it. Nobody on the street is hearing the sax when he's playing it, except if we leave the doors open. So just think about that. How big the city you are in, how big the nation you are in. But the whole world to hear, do you know what kind of voice that is coming? Even when it thunders and there's lightning, it's only heard in a particular area. But the whole world is going to hear this. That shout is going to pop the grave open. It's going to put everything together, and this is happening within a twinkling of an eye. That's before you blink, it is a done deal. So when you are in church, when we are shouting, you better start learning to shout. Your shout is going to open and bring many things. Praise the Lord. I believe you learn to shout more. If you are deaf, your ears are going to open. In the name of Jesus. If a shout can bring a dead person who's been dead for 6,000 years. You that are alive, what part of your body cannot come alive? You cannot be conservative. As a conservative Canadian, say, I don't shout. Some of you come to church, it's like you're sitting in a bar. Entertain me. Jump a lot. Do the shouting for me. No, these are things you have to do for yourself. Say amen. Amen. The devil cannot read your thought. He only reads your how you look. He looks at you and says, oh my goodness, this is a good one to eat this week. That's why you are told put on Christ. He can't eat Christ. Do the change and do it fast. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord is coming. He is coming soon. How soon, we don't know. We just get ourselves ready. But this is going to happen. The dead in Christ shall rise first. He didn't say all dead. He said the dead in Christ shall rise, because they're going to come with him. They're coming with him, an entourage. That's not even the angels yet that's still going to come. Jude said tens and thousands of angels are going to come with him. Hallelujah! We hear about the fathers of faith. You hear about Wigglesworth. You hear about R.W. Scheinbach. You hear about Papa Cerullo. You hear about Oral Roberts. You hear other people. Bosworth and all of them. The praying hide. You hear all those people. They're all going to come with him, including your loved ones in your families. We must tell somebody about Jesus. Verse 17, that we which are alive, now it's our turn. We which are alive. Somebody say, that's me. And remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So if he comes today, and your heart, you've done the things he's told you how to prepare for his coming. That's why 1 Thessalonians 14 went through things. Get rid of the fornication. Get rid of lack of love. Get rid of all these things. And then put on love. And you are ready. Say amen. You don't need so much preparation. Live in holiness. When he comes, it doesn't matter where you are, you shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Before his feet land on Mount Olives, you are coming with him on a special ride. Hallelujah! Glory to God in the highest. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there will never be a separation ever again after that. Where he goes, you go. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So put this as part of your Christian scriptures. Say, I will do so. Amen. So let it be with every one of us as we have read. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace within her walls and her palaces. Peace over Israel. Peace over all the nations of the earth. Peace to Canada, Nigeria, United States of America. Canada, United States of America, Ukraine, Poland, Lithuania, and all the nations. Nigeria, and all the islands of the sea, wherever you can remember this morning, where somebody's calling the name of the Lord, may you hear their cry, save them, that this scripture we have read will become part of their life. Peace to the nation of Philippines and India, in Jesus' mighty name, we declare so done. Father, be in this service. Let your name be magnified. Bless Mama Cerullo and David Cerullo and the Legacy Center and all the men and the women of God that are preaching the gospel, that have laid their life down. Minister grace to them, families, leaders, nations. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Bless our time of giving, offering, and the word. Let the word come with power, grace, favor, mercy, truth, healing, deliverance. And be with our guest as Apostle interviews him now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless.
Praise the Lord. It's good to see you all this wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty has made. And I believe the enemy was doing his utmost to prevent us from accomplishing what we need to accomplish today. But our trust is in the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. I have a very dear son with us today. I've not seen his face for a while. You know, COVID has been bad. But thank God for his faithfulness that in spite of all the issues that have befallen us the last few years, that God is still God and he still reigns. Amen. Sovereign. This dear son, Gideon, He's just a wonderful young man, and I'm so thankful for him. About a month and a half ago, I believe it was, I was ministering the word of the Lord, and I heard the Lord speak to me. Showed me his face, called his name, and he said these words, Gideon, my pilot. And I said, I wasn't planning on having him. We said, interview him. And I want you to talk about trust. And how appropriate that this morning, for him it's late at night, it must be past midnight for him right now. We're going to be talking about subject. He's a wonderful, wonderful young man. Gideon, how are you doing?
Hello, Bishop.
I can't hear you. Unmute yourself.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, I can hear you now. I can hear you now.
Hello. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm so joyed in my spirit to interview you today. When the Lord spoke to me about you and about the subject that we're going to talk about, I found it quite interesting because if anyone can understand the issue of trust, it's the pilot and passengers, of course. You've got to trust the pilot that he knows what he's doing. We're dealing with the subject of partnership, and today I want to ask you very directly, what does trust mean to you as a pilot?
Well, for me, trust is basically the foundation of being a pilot, because when you fly a plane, you have to trust everything, from the mechanics, from all the people around you, setting up the plane, your crew, and especially what is inside the airplane itself, the instruments that you have in the airplane. So trust is basically one of the foundations of being a pilot as a profession.
Awesome. Now let's look at one of the key things you just mentioned. Your equipment, your dashboard. On that dash, there are all kinds of stuff. And especially if you are in the Air Force, how much trust do you have to have on that equipment?
So basically, your 100% trust must be on your equipment. Our number one rule when it comes to what we call instrument flight rules, when you don't see anything outside the aircraft or the airplane. So you have to trust your instruments. Whatever it says, you have to trust that everything it indicates is true and everything it indicates is according to the location you are in, according to the speed of your aircraft, and everything that is happening within that aircraft. Everything that is happening around you, you have to trust what the instruments indicate.
Is it then true that sometimes your eyes may be telling you something and your instrument is telling you something else, and you have to bypass what your natural sight is saying and trust that equipment?
Yes, absolutely. Like, for example, when you are coming for an approach to land, sometimes you will get a double vision, what we call the double vision. The runway is nearing you. You can see that the runway is so near, the runway is widening up, but the instrument says that you are just, you are like 5 miles apart from that runway. So you can miscalculate when you trust what you see. You can miscalculate what you will do when you land. But look into your instrument, that instrument is saying to you that you must not do this because you're still far. So it the instrument reading and what you see outside, it can vary at most of the time, because what we see on the outside, or what the pilots see on the outside when we land with a visual, with visual landing. It may be our eyes may, or our minds may tell us different, but the instruments doesn't lie. You must trust the instruments all the time, because the instrument doesn't lie. Your mind and your eyes can put double vision, and what we call spatial. I forgot the term. It's like a spatial discrepancy. So your minds may trick you that the runway is far or close and is near, but on actual, you are still far from the runway. That's one example that I have experienced.
I like that word, double vision. It reminds me of being double-minded.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm going to take it from here and continue the thought that you've presented to us today. This has been so informative, you know, that there can be discrepancies between what you see with your natural eyes and what your equipment is saying. And you've got to override your natural mind and believe the equipment, because it's always right.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so very much. Hang in. Let's go through this. I might come back to you at some point. I don't know. But let's get this across. When we're talking about trust, we're talking about trusting God. And we're talking about trusting His Word. And many times in our lives, what we see and what God is saying don't seem to line up. And the test is this, that you've got to make the decision, the absolute decision that you're not going to place your faith in yourself, in your circumstance, but on the word of God. What did God say? What did God say? That's what's important. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, while you come to Proverbs chapter 3, the word of God says this in the Psalms. It says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." I remember many years ago, this was in 1989. We're coming into 1990. I believe it was on the 31st of December. God showed me a lot of things. Things that we are living out now. Talk to me about... Well, let me leave that alone. Let me leave that alone. But anyhow, he showed me something. He brought me into a room. And in that room, there was a lady sitting down on a chair. And there comes these robed guys, came into the room. They take this thing that looked like a helmet. They stuck it on the head of this lady. And a red light in the center of this helmet comes on, just came on for a brief moment and went off. They took the helmet and they walked out. And the Lord said, "Do you know what just happened?" I said, "No." He said, "Do you know what inner healing is?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You see that woman there?" I said, "Yes." "She had issues." I said, "Okay." "You see that red light that came on?" I said, "Yeah." "That red light went straight into a particular area in her brain and erased certain things." I said, "No, that's good." He said, "Yeah." He said, "If she had been abused in her life, it just erased it. And it eradicated that thing from her conscious level and her subconscious level, so that she is no longer affected by that anymore." I said, that's very good stuff. He said, "But you know what they're going to do?" I said, "What?" He said, "The day is coming when they are going to bring Christians into rooms like this. And they won't put this helmet on over their heads so that they can erase me out of their minds. Because they're going to look at you and think that you have a defect. You've got this religious thing that's making you become a problem. So they're going to try to erase me out of your minds." He says, "But what they do not know," I like this word, "thy word have I hidden in my heart." He says, "I'm not in your brain. They cannot erase me out of you." I said, "Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. God in you, the hope of glory." There is a lot of stuff happening in the minds of people today. I don't want to go into that. But people are being impacted in their minds, controlled in their minds, when they do not have God in their hearts. Whole societies can be changed by what is happening in the atmosphere. One of the reasons the enemy is going to want to have people chipped It's so that he can control masses of people and they think only what the system wants them to think. Hallelujah. But this is true, that the God we serve is a God that cannot be controlled by what man does. Amen? That's a good place to shout a big hallelujah. In Proverbs chapter 3, he says, my son, forget not my law. Don't forget my word, but let thine heart keep my commandment. That's why it's imperative for us not to resist the word of God. When you hear the word of God, don't resist it, embrace it. Recognize the fact that the word of God is the truth, not the legacies of man, not the liturgies of man, not the legal systems of man, but what the word of God says. That is what you must place your trust in, what God says. It says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. And it says, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now watch this. It says, trust. Somebody say it, trust. Say it one more time, trust. In the Lord with all thine heart. Trust God with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. Like Brother Gideon was saying just a moment ago, there are times when you want to land and your eyes, your natural eyes, is telling you something, and your equipment is telling you something else. If you lean onto your own understanding and your natural sight, bang, crash, dead. Do you understand? Especially if you are a pilot that's flying a jet, a fighter's jet of some kind. And you're flipping all over the place, and you're in the sky. All of a sudden, you don't know whether you are flying upwards or you're flying upside down. And the only thing that will tell you where you are spatially is your equipment. Better trust that equipment, because when you are there and you're flying all upside down, you think, your mind tells you, you're flying properly. You see, your eyes, these eyes here, can see things upside down. If I showed you a picture, 5-6 pictures right now, put it in front of you, and you're looking, and the pictures are upside down. Okay, so the head is close to you, and the neck is further away from you. You understand what I'm talking about? You will recognize everybody there, upside down. If I flip that picture, and you look at it the proper way, you'll find out that everything that you just saw was distorted. The mouth is not going up, it's going down. The eyes are not looking up, they're looking down. But your eyes looking at it tells you that that's Prime Minister Trudeau right there. Flip it. You find out, oh, that's no Prime Minister Trudeau. This is a weird creature. You cannot trust your eyes, your natural eyes. The only eyes you can trust is the eyes of God. What God says is your truth. And if you and I are going to partner with God, we've got to rely on God, not lean onto our own understanding. The traditions of men make the word of God of none effect. Your circumstance is not the truth. It's a lie. What you believe about God is the truth. That is, if you have the Word of God inside of you. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. How do you trust God with all thine heart? By loving God with all your heart. If you don't love God completely, your system, your equipment is not functioning properly. It says, love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your might, with all of your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And God calls us to the place, and we're ready just a moment to go as Mama led us, that we need to increase in love more and more. Increase in your love relationship with God more and more. Every day, pursue God. Don't allow all these other things that try to crowd God out of your life. Many of us are running after stuff, running after things. We want this and we want that. We want this and we want that. The reason you want this and you want that is because you want to be better than somebody else. You want to be like this person, or be like that person, or be better than that person. Be the big guy in the place. And it begins to squeeze the reality of God out of your life until everything is distorted and your heart is no longer in the place where you are following after God and doing His will. Your pursuit is no longer on Him and on Him alone. Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and every other thing that people are running after, pursuing after, says, it's going to be added unto you. But we must start with a place of trust. Trust in God. He says, what are you worrying about? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow. Look at the grass. You cannot serve God and mammon. You got to make a choice. And the decision of trusting God, believing that what God says is the truth, that God really is your provider. Now, the passage Mama was reading just a moment ago tells us about working. Do things with your hands so that there's no lack, so you have the capacity to be a blessing. You either believe that, or you believe in getting everything you can and just loading yourself with stuff, because your focus in life is about what you can get. And your faith, your trust is in your riches. That's why people don't give. They're trying to build a nest egg. Like they're going to take it somewhere. Some people are trying to do everything to save for a rainy day. And when the rain comes, it's a flood and it doesn't do anything for you. Or you can choose to love, choose to listen to what God's word says, and see God bless you and make you exceedingly great. Hallelujah. It says, in all thy ways, Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. and he shall direct thy parts. God doesn't just have one pathway for you. He has multiple pathways. He says, I'm going to direct you. You're not going to lose out on anything as long as you acknowledge me. You honor me in all of your ways. I'm going to direct thy parts. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. But rather, fear the Lord and depart from evil. What is it going to do for me, fearing the Lord and departing from evil? Oh, it says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It shall be held to thy navel. What's the navel? The navel is a point of connection. God says your navel, your point of connection to source, will be healthy. And marrow to thy bones. Marrow to thy bones. That's where your blood is being formed. That's your life source. And God is saying, listen, trust me. Don't lean onto your own understanding. This is how you're going to make it. But too many times we don't listen to what God has to say. We rather listen to people that are acting crazy. People that are still thinking men can get pregnant. Yeah. Those are the people we listen to. Makes sense. The craziness of man. Because we don't want to align ourselves to the Word of God. So what does God's Word say? It says, honor. Honor God with all thy substance. All. God is not interested in partial commitment. Let me say that again. God is not interested in my partial commitment. He wants me to be fully engaged. If your transmission is between gear 1 and 2, your car is not going anywhere. It has to be fully engaged. And if your life is going to go anywhere, you've got to be fully engaged, not partially engaged. If you want to follow God completely. Don't pussyfoot around your commitment with God. It's your relationship. And that relationship demands trust. Hallelujah. It demands trust. It says, honor the Lord with all thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's that word again. God says, this is our month of increase. Amen? It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Glory be to God. We've got to trust that word. It's a promise of God. Where are you tonight or this morning? In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 28, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 28. we read these powerful words. He that trusted in his riches shall fall. That's what God's word says. You place your trust in your riches, what you put in together, your stocks. There's so many people who thought that they are settled. You know, I've got all this stock and bonds and treasury bills and all of that, and something called inflation did not inflate their stocks. It brought it down. Now they're trying to figure out, how am I going to live for tomorrow? When your faith and your trust is in God, and you see that only as a tool that God has given to you to be a blessing, you don't worry about none of that. Because you know that you serve a God who takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeds the multitude. You know a God who's able to keep you no matter what the status of things might be. Because you are not of this world. You serve a God, and you were birthed from that kingdom as an ambassador. Listen, listen. It's important. I want you to hear this. You are an ambassador of God because you were not born in the earth. You were born from above. And that which is from above is what? Above all. Praise God. And because you are not born in the earth, you can be God's ambassador in the earth. Because you are not of this world. Hello? And the last time I checked, ambassadors are funded by the government that sent them. Hello? So guess who funds you? You are funded from above. You are paid with the currency from above. And it doesn't have inflation. Glory be to God. God is a good God. The last time I checked, ambassadors don't secure themselves. The government, I love this. I love this. Your home government is your security. Yes? But guess what? The government or the country where you are residing as an ambassador has to protect you also, because not protecting you means war. Are you getting the point? That means when you trust God and you are linked to God, that even the devil makes sure that you are not messed with. Come on. An ambassador doesn't travel without an entourage. The entourage of God goes with you wherever you go, because you are in partnership with God, representing God's kingdom. But when you are not in partnership, you're on your own. And too many times we are on our own. But the God we serve is calling us to a place where we recognize his power and his manifold blessings can be bestowed richly upon our lives. But when you place your trust in your own riches, it says you're going to fall. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Someone say, I am flourishing. Praise God. Because I trust in the Lord. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, we're talking about partnering with God. And in partnering with God, all that God has becomes yours. God backs you with the resources of heaven. Amen? Because you are his representative. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. That's God's commitment. Whose mind is stayed on thee. God will keep us in perfected peace because our minds are stayed, committed to the Lord. And it explains it, what that his mind is stayed on thee means, because he trusted. You trust in God. And God will show himself strong on your behalf. I didn't know that Sister Aisha was going to be here today until a few days ago. But while I was just ministering, I'm reminded about the attack that she went through a few years back. She testified right here. She shouldn't be walking around. If she had any movement, she should have been, I don't know why they call people vegetables, you know, when something happens to people, you know, really bad, they say, oh, this person has become a vegetable. I don't know. But anyway, that's what she should have been. But that God, the God we serve, faithful and mighty, restored her and made her every withhold. Hallelujah. Trusting in the Lord. I look at Sister Judith over there. She was a goner. Done. If you wanted to draw her, a picture of her, all you just need to do is make a big O there and just some sticks. But look at her. It's the power of God. God continues to show himself faithful. I look at my daughter, Ashley. Ghana. Done. But the devil is a liar. What is the difference? The trust in God. When it looks like your story is finished, God says, I am the resurrection. Oh, I am the resurrection and the life. Sister Loretta, same difference. Gone. Done. The faithfulness of God. People don't come here to die. This is not a mortuary. People come here to live. Hallelujah. I was leading in prayer the other day, I guess on Friday, and I remembered again, what an awesome God. Pastoring for all these years, 46 whatever years, 46 this year. Huh? Buried only 2 church members? Why? Because this is not a place to come die. This is a place to come live. Yeah. Our trust is in the Lord. A few months ago in January, the devil thought, you with your big mouth, I'm going to shut you up. And he found out, this brother, I like this word, you may not like it because it's not a proper English word, ain't your servant. Hallelujah. I am not killable. Blessed be the name of the living God. The devil's a liar. My trust. Bug, bug, bug. My trust is in you. The God we serve is faithful. Don't trade him for foolish actions. In 2 Samuel, I have so much to share with you, but time is not going to permit me to do as much as I would like. In 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 3, the word of God says, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. There might be violence all around, but God, you're the God who saves me out of violence. Psalm 22 and verse 31. He restates the fact. Or 2 Samuel 22 and verse 31 rather. 2 Samuel 22 and 31. It says, as for God, his way is perfect. That's why you need to acknowledge him. His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It's gone through the test of time. He's a buckler, a protection to all them that trust in him. That's God's commitment. Psalm 18 and verse 2. Psalm 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my what? My rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. David keeps on restating it. I know this. I know this. I knew it when those that did not trust in God and trusted in the arm of flesh were busy running away from a Goliath. I trusted in God, the same God who brought down the bear and the lion, and I told that stinking big whatever, you are too big for me to miss. You come here mouth enough, I'm going to shut your mouth off. You, how dare you? You uncircumcised Philistine. You don't have a covenant relationship with my God. You're opening your mouth to chat. I'm going to TikTok you right now. TikTok. Dead. And he cut the man's head off with his own sword. So shall every enemy that stands against you and God's divine purpose for your life be defeated, because your trust is in the Lord. Hallelujah. In Psalm 91, we read these powerful words in verse 2.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Verse 4 says, Psalm 91 and verse 4, He shall cover thee, praise the Lord, with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Psalm 56 and verse 11. Psalm 56 and verse 11. God have I put my trust. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me, because I place my trust in God. In Psalm 57 and verse 1. Psalm 57 and verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings, hallelujah, will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. What is God saying? God is saying, listen, when you trust in me, I cover you. I'm going to take all the heat. I'm going to take all the storm. I'm going to take all of the beating. But you are protected. Why? You trust Him. If you run out because, oh, it's really loud out there, I better go find something else to do. Go. You find out. You just expose yourself. It's like little kids doing hide and seek. You know, it's amazing, you know, to me, you know. Hide and go seek. And while they're going and somebody's trying to find them, they expose themselves. What is the idea? You hide and go seek and you're exposing yourself. That's how many Christians act. When we don't trust God, you expose yourself. God's word says in James, a double-minded person should not expect to receive anything from God. That's a promise. If you are double-minded and you're getting stuff and you think it's coming from God, let me tell you, you are being snared. Your ability to trust is founded in your love commitment to God. Father, I love you, and I know you love me, and you will not allow anything evil to befall me. If anything bad is happening around me, I know, God, that you are my keeper. You are steadfast. I have received the grace to be steadfast because it came from you. I believe and I refuse not to believe in you. And God, you're not going to love God more than He loves you. You're not going to be more trustworthy than God is. You're not going to be more faithful than God is. You're not going to be more truthful than God is. You're not going to be stronger than God. So rest in His goodness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 20 and verse 7. Psalm 20 and verse 7. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember
the name of the Lord our God. Now, that's incredibly important. He says some are going to trust in chariots. Some are going to trust in their horses. He says, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Why is that important? Remembering the name of the Lord our God. Because in remembering the name of the Lord your God, you remember the fact that whatever name God has is representative of his personhood, his capacity, his integrity, his character. So when you're going through a time where it seems like there is no peace, you remember the name of God. He's Jehovah Shalom. Nothing is missing. Nothing is broken. Everything is complete. Wholeness. I remember your name. And I run into your name. And I find security. When your finances are tight, you remember his name. He's Jehovah Jireh. When you're challenged and it seems like you're alone, you remember he's Jehovah Shammah, God who is right here with me, who's promised me he will never leave me nor forsake me. In a nutshell, when we talk about trusting God, we're talking about connecting with him with all of our hearts. And if you're going to do that, then you must evict every other God. You must shoo off any other thing trying to crowd itself into the space of your heart. In Matthew 6, I'm going to continue. There's so much more to share with you today. But in Matthew 6, it says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Says you're going to have to make a choice. Where are you going to love God or love mammon? Despise God or despise mammon? What is mammon? Mammon is materialism. Materialism is so much powerful than even the devil. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Let me do that for you. What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Are you not much better than the birds? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit, it's just 18 inches, into his stature? Why you take ye thought about raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, if he cares about the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith, O ye of little trust? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or whither shall we be clothed? For after all these things, do the Gentiles, people that do not know God, that's what they seek. He says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows that you need the shelter, he knows that you need the food, and he knows that you need the drink, and he knows that you need those nice shoes and blouses and suits and whatever else. He knows that you need that nice agbada. That nice barong. He says, I know you need those things. He says, but I don't want you worrying about it. He says, but what I want you to do is this. Seek ye first. Put God first. Seek him first. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, whatever they are, all these things shall be added unto you. You will not have any lack because it's taken care of. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So today, I challenge every one of us to look at our instrument, the Word of God. Trust this. Before you trust the liberal, the conservative, the NDP government, or any government, trust your boss, trust your doctor, trust all of that. And God uses all of those, but he says, trust me first. I will direct your path. I know the right thing to do. I know the right answer. Follow my directives. Amen? Will you make a commitment to do that? Praise the Lord. If you do that, I tell you what. You will never be ashamed. You will never be confused. You will never be dismayed. You will live life to the full and celebrate every moment you have, because the God you serve is faithful. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Well, before we're dismissed today, I want to remind us that this Sunday is the last Sunday of the month, and this is the Sunday that we give to missions. The nations are calling, and it is time for us to begin to penetrate. Now, we've been able to do some penetration of different lands and been getting great results, but there's nothing like being there in person. And it is expensive, not just taking the flight, because some of the places we have to go to, they don't have a way of giving to you. They're looking at you to give to them. But we cannot shy away from preaching this gospel, because our time is very limited. In real terms, I really think that something is going to change dramatically by 2030. It's going to make it very difficult for us to be able to go out. And we really have a window of time. And the devil is trying to crowd into our space of time to make sure that we don't get the word out as quickly as we should. But between now and then, I really feel strongly within me not only to go and have mass crusades, but to reach men and women. Like my son Gideon that was on there, who are fully equipped, who go out boldly and are not cowardly and minister to people and reach men and women with the true gospel. One-on-one. Yes, the masses are great, but there's a place for one-to-one. Amen? And we need to raise up leaders in the nations who are going to take the word of God out and see lives transformed. I'd like to play a video at this time with our mission's emphasis. And let's have our reach to Pakistan. Praise the Lord. 1 hour, 19,000 people responded. That's within the hour, not to talk about the amount of people after that. The times when we had 28,000 plus. But we also have this, the first group that you saw, those are, and I believe we might be doing a recording tomorrow, crusades reaching to remote areas. In Pakistan, remote areas, places that I can fly to, but teams just take a projector, hook online, get the preaching of the word, and broadcast it on a white sheet. And God is giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, crippled, walking. All kinds of miracles are happening. And the word is going. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We give God praise for his faithfulness. So today I want to encourage us, as you bring your regular tithe and offerings, I want you to do the extra. You know, I encourage people to give with a second envelope, but if you can't do that, just put it in there Make note of it. You're given for missions. And God will honor your giving today, because the world is crying out for help. And I want to encourage the champions of faith, those of you who are champions of faith that made a commitment that you'll support strong. I encourage you during these times, do something extra. You know, some people can only give so much, but those who believe in God to be champions of faith, do go that extra mile. Let's have funding in our war chest to go out to take this gospel far and near. Amen? Come, let us honor God with our giving. Praise God. I like the video for the declaration of the Lord for this month. While that video is on, get your elements ready for communion. Praise the Lord. May start small, but God has increase on his mind. Amen. Say it with me. June is my month of increase. Hallelujah. Now, when we say June or May or April or January or whatever, we're not saying that that particular word only lasts from the first day of that month to the end of that month. It means that God has started that in your life. And God doesn't peak. Right. Amen? So when God says increase, expect increase every day. Hallelujah. You come into July, it's still increase. Plus the word that God gave, because that's also an increase on the issue. Amen? When you come to August, it's going to say, be the same word. Hallelujah? So be ready for the blessings of God in every area. This is the body of the Lord. It's a body for our healing, for our deliverance. We declare as you take of this body of the Lord, that any sickness, any disease, anything that is not of God, any kind of calamity that the enemy is trying to engineer, that whatever the enemy has purposed is destroyed right to its roots, because the blood of Jesus Christ goes that deep. We declare judgment on every sickness, whatever its name is. It must be destroyed now. And renewed health is yours by the authority of the word of the living God. take and eat in Jesus' name.
So take up this cup of blessing. May our trust in the Lord grow.
Amen.
May our love for God grow more and more.
Amen.
And love for one another.
Amen.
Take and drink.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. May I see my son Gideon back up? Son, just want to really appreciate you today. Your word to us was so insightful. And we speak the blessings of God upon your life. May God elevate you. May God grant you supernatural speed. May the God of heaven elevate you and cause you to shine brightly.
Amen.
May your peers see you and know this one is a great one.
Amen.
May those ahead of you be persons of destiny.
Amen.
Destiny helpers.
Yes.
That will help you climb higher and higher.
Amen.
May God's word be strong in your mouth.
Amen.
And may you prosper, because his prosperity is embedded in you. God has invested himself in you. We celebrate you and we thank God for you.
Amen.
All of us as a congregation, thank God for you.
Amen.
Thank you so very much.
God.
You are blessed and highly favored of the Lord.
Amen.
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 We'll talk.
I just want to say to you, Gideon, thanks for blessing us. You know, comparing how the pilot must trust in the instrument. Don't trust your eyes, not even your mind, what you think. But you said the instrument is 100% accurate. That means
that's right.
If it was serviced and checked before takeoff. So the same thing with the word of God. Trust the word of God 100%.
Amen.
So a pilot that can think that way should always have faith in God.
Amen.
Thanks for doing it, and I think it's clear to all of us. Trust God 100%. Don't trust your circumstance. Don't trust your eyes. Don't even trust your own hearing. Trust the Lord.
Amen.
And it is well with all of us.
Amen.
Well, God bless you. Bless the Philippines.
Yes.
Greetings to your family.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Soon we will see all of you. I know it's almost 3 years postponement, but we will be there shortly. So
yes.
God bless you.
Amen.
Bless
Bye-bye.
You. Love you.
Salama.
Salamat.
Mabuhay.
Mabuhay.
All right, someone, people are online.
Yes. Who else do we have on Zoom? Anyone else? Well, you may be dismissed. We love you all.
Yes.
Amen.
Bless you.
God bless you. If you want to hang around, you may. But
Shalom.
It doesn't look like there's anyone on Zoom.
Yeah, I think they left.
All right.